became a monk and was known as Viryasandra, and one of pure perseverance. So of the three sons that the king and queen had, the middle son, Chandragaba, is our present Venerable Guru Atisha. So the first son, Pemagaba, took on the reins of the kingdom. It's clear? The king and queen had three sons. One, the first son was the one who took on the reins of the kingdom, had five wives and nine sons. And the middle son became a monk. The youngest one became a monk, and the middle son was Lama Atisha. It's not very esoteric. So Lama Atisha from very young showed extraordinary qualities, being very compassionate and loving and kind to others, showing these qualities. And whenever the parents took him to see holy places, temples and monasteries, without anybody ever instructing, spontaneously Lama Atisha would recite prayers of praise, admiring prayers of praise, praising the qualities of the holy objects, making strong requests and so forth. And whenever he went around, many people, because they were the king's prince, so many people would come around to look at them. And then he would ask, who are these people? And they say, oh, they are the public, of the people of the kingdom. So he would behold them with such, loving kindness and compassion, and say, may they also be blessed with fortune like me, have the same fortune as me, and be blessed with parents like mine. He would, when he encountered people like that, he would wish them everything that he had for them.
So then
the second point is how upon that basis he gained good qualities in generating the qualities. So this is explained in two parts, how knowing many texts he gained the good qualities of scriptural knowledge, how engaging in proper practice he gained the good qualities of experiential knowledge. So, in order to have a spiritual realizations, experiential realizations, then one has to rely upon the instructions, scriptural instructions. One has to rely upon scriptural instructions. Without those, then there's no way to generate. There's no way to generate the realization of that comes through experience. So in order to accomplish that, then one needs to practice. One needs to undertake the practices. So by the within the age of 21, or at the age by the age of 21, he had mastered the 64 arts, all forms of crafts, the Sanskrit language, and all philosophy. So there are these five forms of knowledge. First form of knowledge is knowledge of the sound, meaning languages, mastering languages, particularly in relation to Sanskrit. Well versed in the grammar and the language of the Sanskrit. And the second form of knowledge is being well versed in tsema. In logic and reason, excelling in logic as a logician, like that, logic and reasoning. And then the third is the arts and crafts. So excelling arts and crafts is very, very extensive, which includes like the 64 arts, referring to is singing, dancing, being able to control the channels within the body, like that. Even like sports, like archery, things like that. It covers a very wide form of activities. And like all forms, carpentry, statue making, painting, singing, dancing, there's many things. Third form of knowledge is in medicine, excelling in medicine. So these are the four forms of knowledge which are common to Buddhists and non-Buddhists as well. And within the age of 21, he had completely excelled in these four forms of knowledge.
Jebe kala, and the Tsema Jong Ritisan.
So it said in the Bible that at the age of 15, Lama Tisha, took on the challenge of a debate. At that time, Buddhists and non-Buddhists often held debates, but the main subjects or basis for the debates were grammar and logic. And those were the two areas into which they engaged the debate. And, Lama Tisha at that time had already studied Dhammakirti's drop of reasoning. So in the course of that debate at that age, then he was able to defeat this other non-Buddhist scholar. And through this activity, Lama Tisha became very famous as a scholar. These things, being able to engage in defeat, being able to engage in these kind of debates at such a young age, and being able to defeat, the older scholars like that, it is possible, because even it's mentioned in the life story of the great Indian master Chandra Gomi, who at the age of 8 engaged in a debate with another very famous non-Buddhist scholar. Kind of very well known, and the only person who could challenge him, who could debate with him, was Chandragomi's father, and even was Chandragomi's father who could engage. Even then, it was like uncertain whether he would be able to handle him or not. So Chandragomi at that time was only 8 years old, but he took on the challenge of that debate. And again defeated this person, and then converted him into Buddhism.
So
When they set up for the occasion of the debate on a platform with, you know, the seats for the debaters, and, you know, with the audience of many kings and ministers at that time like that, so you know, the opponent, the anonymous opponent, he was seated, and then everyone was waiting for the, because they were expecting Chandragomi's father to come and debate. So then this little boy came. So, and then he said, this is not an area for your children to play. You should go away. So then, even then at that age, you know, he right away there and then composed a very beautiful verse, which basically said, you know, the inner qualities is not to be judged by the outer form, but you know. What is what qualities within you is inside, not by the size, by the outer size of the body. So when he composed the verse and said like this, you know, the opponent was very inspired, because, you know, coming from the mouth of an 8-year-old child, this incredible incredible verse. So right away he thought, oh, this is not an ordinary child. So right away he generated much faith and respect toward Chandragomi.
And then he said
he's not without debating, he said, I will be your disciple.
Yeah.
Up until the age of 21, you know, Lama Thishya excelled in these four forms of knowledge, which are common, which are regarded as common forms of knowledge. And then, even at that age, then Lama Thishya showed strong inclination of interest toward the Dharma, and then the parents didn't want want Lama Thishya to invest his life in a spiritual field, so you know, they kind of to sort of distract or to have a good time, you know, they send Lama Thishya off to traveling. And in the course of that traveling, what Lama Thishya did was take many teachings from various spiritual teachers. And then when he, you know, when he came back, you know, the parents said, "Did you have a good time?" And like that. And then he says, you know, wherever I went, you know, I was always taught about the reality of the shortcomings of our cyclic existence. So, like that.
That is what Lama Thishya said.
So, because of being always reminded of the shortcomings of cyclic existence, then, because of that, then, Lama Tisha, insisted upon his interest, to uphold his interest in the Dharma. So, at the site of what is known as the Black Mountain Temple, then, in accordance with the prophecy of the Vajradakini, then, Lama Tisha took the initiation into the Hevajra practice, from this Lama known as Rahula Gupta, as prophesied by the Dakini. Rahula Gupta, who lived in the direct visionary experience of Hevajra. In the course of that initiation, one is given a secret name, and so that secret name of Lama Atisha at that time was known as Janaguya Vajra. So then Lama Tisha told his teacher how he had difficulty, breaking away from the bondage to the household life. You know how he had difficulty breaking away from that condition because of the obligations to the parents like that. In order to overcome that, what his teacher, made him do was to accompany these mahasiddhas who dressed naked, undressed naked. With the bones, ornamented with all these bones and things like that. ornamented with only skulls and bones and like that. So, in the company of such, mahasiddhas. And Lama Tisha also himself dressed like that. His teacher sent him to town like that. So when the people of the kingdom and the parents saw him like that, then they thought, oh, he's not going to be able to rule the nation. So they said, like, although they had long harbored hopes that he would, ruling like in whatever. So anyway, so So then they gave up and allowed him to pursue his interest in the spiritual life.
So the
parents said, you know, we always hoped that you would stay with us for a long time, you know, ruling this kingdom. But, you know, but now it seems like you're not going to give up your interest in Dharma. So to that, Dharma Atisha replied saying, you know, to be with you together only for this lifetime is a very short period of time. But if you let me go, in the pursuit of the practice of Dharma, then we will be together for many lifetimes.
So then
Lama Atisha, you know, studied with many great teachers, studying the Vajrayana path, the path of the secret mantra, in accordance with the explanations and instructions, undertook intensive practices, you know, where he completely excelled in those practices. And excelled in all the practices, without exception, you know. And then to a point where Lama Atisha thought that there's nobody else, who has excelled and accomplished in these practices as much as I have. Even like that, a sense of pride came up. And so when such thoughts arose, then the Dakinis in the form of a dream showed Lama Atisha many other scripture texts that he had not been exposed to before, that he had not seen before. So when he saw those, then the thought of pride came down. So the later part of Lama Atisha's life, he lived out in Tibet. And so when he went to Tibet, he visited the ancient monastery of Samir, which was built by the Dharma king Thichen Desen. And in Samir, he came upon many texts on the path of the secret mantra, which he had not seen before. So, and then at that time, Lama Atisha commented, like, how limitless was the study of secret mantra. You know, taught that it's just limitless in the study of the path of secret mantra. And then also he came upon text that that he had not seen before in India, one sutra known as Dopavachankasari. The sutra of the... There's one sutra called Dopavachan. This sutra on that he came. When he came upon such writings in Tibet like that, then he also thought, you know, that Dharma in India was not as much established as it was established in Tibet because of the text that he came upon at that time. Because the text that he hadn't seen in India, you know, he came upon those texts in Tibet. So to a point where he thought, you know, the Dharma did not get established as much as it got established in Tibet.
And there are
also stories where he retranslated those texts back into Sanskrit, the Indian language, and sent it back to India. So we'll stop here. Please listen to the teachings by generating the motivation, thinking that I must attain the unsurpassable state of the enlightenment for the benefit of all mother sentient beings that pervade the infinitude of space. And for this purpose, that one is going to listen to these pure teachings. And the teachings that one is listening to are the teachings of the Buddha, which it contains the key points of these essential teachings, which has been further clarified or propagated by the two great charioteers of Nagarjuna and Asanga. And the great path which is traveled by all the Buddhas of the three times. And these teachings, which are regarded as the heart essence of the entire teachings of the Buddha, regarded as that by Lama Atisha and Lama Tsongkhapa. It is the supreme teachings enabling one to accomplish the stages of the path. Within which are contained all the paths and practices that are contained or common to this to the beings of the three scopes, you know, small, medium, and highest intelligence or capacities, path which contains all the essential points of practice for beings of these three different capacities. So herein is explained a brief explanation of the graduated path to enlightenment.
So
these teachings, which are regarded like the lamp of the three worlds, and what we've covered is according to the outline is first of all in order to establish the authority of the text, then talking about the preeminent qualities of the author, then in order to generate respect, faith and respect towards the text itself, then talking about the preeminent qualities of the text itself, and then the third point is how to the actual body of the explanation, the actual body of the explanation, which is how to listen and how to explain these teachings, and the fourth point, how to guide disciples on this path. So yesterday we began with the life story of Lama Atisha, explaining the first point in order to establish the authority of the text, talking about the preeminent qualities of the author. And so in relation to that, we talked about Lama Atisha's life, up to the point when he was ordained. It was through the inspiration of the gurus and deities that Lama Atisha was was inspired or motivated to accomplish the greatest benefit towards the Dharma, to the benefit to Dharma and to sentient beings. Because the initial motivation was on the basis of practicing the path of the secret mantra, then to accomplish the unified state of enlightenment. So, since becoming ordained, since the path of becoming ordained was a means by which Lama Atisha could accomplish greater benefit for sentient beings and for the Dharma, out of the blessings of many many guru deities, then they guided Lama Atisha to take ordination, saying that even if the motivation is to attain the unified state of enlightenment by the path of secret mantra, what point is there if one is to forsake sentient beings?
근데 영 만남진다 뽐바 샤저도가 된거래요 아직 전주되나 좋아지셔도요 던지지 만남 뽐네 근데 뽐바 샤저도비 옛날에 간드노 있었지 좋아지라마 이제네 맨막에 가래도 차네 내려도 마중하니 나스 던지지 만남 뽐 다 돈도 그럽지 마 거기로
And also Lama Atisha had dreams where he saw Shakyamuni Buddha and surrounded by many other holy beings, and they were asking the entourage of the Buddha was asking Shakyamuni Buddha, saying why is this person, meaning Lama Atisha, not ordained? What is it that he's attached to that he's not ordained? So like that, through many significant dreams and so forth like that, then Lama Atisha
ordination. Mata Rabjong and Kembo de Tanda Debaje none, Pajin Debaji. And Pajin Devin Dunzi, Shila Rajita Mata Shila, Sutum Rajita Songa, Sutum Songa, Tanduji Yonan Dream. Yuilam de Tekon and Soji was Yonam Toso Je Nonge and Tro Zemo Soba. Zoba Neba, Jonah Zoba Tobini. Tendit again, Dune, and the Rabdichon. Rabdichon, the Saint Jaguarinza, Bama Menji, she is a double. That's all.
Lama Atisha took ordination in the Ma Sangika tradition of the in one of the different Vinaya schools. Then it was in this particular school that he took ordination before the great abbot known by the name of Sila Rakshita. Sila meaning morality, Rakshita means protector of morality. And this great abbot was said to have attained the path of preparation, and of the four levels of the path of preparation, having attained the state of forbearance. You have heed, peak, like that, in the fourth level, which is forbearance, having attained that, and was given the ordination name of, Sri Dipankara Jana.
Then Rabdi Chone, Losm Zajig about the Sini Jituba, and that Nal Dikone Johnson, and that then Sini Jituba, nor be the no one of the Johnson is.
So up until the age of 31, then began to study the extensive Buddhist philosophy, the tenets, you know, Madhyamika, the perfection, the teachings on the paramitas, like, you know, before the age of 31, Lama Atisha kind of focused, his main part of study was to do with this path of the secret mantra. So after ordination onwards, then began to study extensively the Buddhist philosophy.
And then studied
in particular with a guru by the name of Dharmarakshita for 12 years on a text known as the Great Detailed Explanation.
Mata. Dang ombe tenje ne tanda linje rjeba de jeba songe yorwa.
So this text mostly is known as the Abhidhamma section, you know, talking about the evolution.
Ombe tenje ne linje rjeba de jeba shi yorwa ji. Eza tin so ne tsiri ba tsu rjeba tongge me ga ji. Tendin de kan de na samba yong gro wa. Indi ta Oden de pori loju shuyin na, oden de pori shayandi. Ani, mudu bi, tam mudu ba chegi ani, rono dropchi, ro, koro du yoni. Ani, kemye de trozi wubar, tohne, en nombi kemye, genon de shuyichi, teku ro ba da ton rozi shuy, te ton, tenje nombi.
The place where Lama Atisha studied the Ottantapuri, which is to tell you the story of how this place came about, was there was one non-Buddhist scholar, Ottantapuri Monastery. So there was one non-Buddhist scholar who found the means to be able to, make the dead walk, Rolang, zombies, was able to create zombies. So, and then, the dead person to stand, and then the body would become gold, and the tongue would become a sword, and they could go anyway. If you hold on to the sword, then you can go any place, wherever you want, even to the devil realms and so forth. So this this zombie needed like a friend or a support, and so the scholar, the non-Buddhist scholar. Someone living in. Gaining. they needed like a friend or a support. So then, the one that they found suitable, who would be of a good support or friend, was this. One kind of lay precept holder, you know, they found one lay precept holder who would faithfully serve the monk.
다 로마 주민들거나 로이 다 무대고 토론게는 나 가르 동의나 될 동의 되고 이러와 대가나네 로이 젤레마 내 소미우이 이거 젤레트노 다 젤레 종행되고나 아니 샘토고 이러다 예년데 됐으면 예년이
자 So the non-Buddhist scholar who was able to create the zombie, so he does the recitation, and then the cough which rises then sticks out his tongue during the recitation, sticks out his tongue about 3 times, and you have to be able to catch it when it sticks out. So the lay precept holder was the person who was supposed to catch the tongue when it kind of came out. So the upasaka and the lay precept holder was very close to the corpse in a way. Then as the tongue came out, he tried to catch it, but it was very slippery. So 2 times he missed it already. So the non-Buddhist scholar warned the upasaka saying, you have to be really, you make sure that you catch it the 3rd time. Because if you miss this 3rd time, then, the zombie will turn on us. And not only us, but many other sentient beings will come to harm. Now, because he had the experience of, that he couldn't catch it with his hand. It kept slipping. So he put his mouth against the mouth of the cop. So then, when it stuck his tongue out, it just
So
when he managed to do that, then the body of that zombie became gold, and the tongue became a sword.
So
So the numberless scholar, you know, he only wanted the sword because he wanted to go to the deva realm. So he said, you know, I only want the sword. You can have the gold, you know, the body that became gold. But the Upasaka said, you know, can I just borrow the sword for a little bit? And then he borrowed the sword and he went to the top of Mount Meru and he saw the entire Mount Meru, four main continents, eight subcontinents, completely, you know, the whole entire existence, the way it is described. He saw it, and then, having seen that, he came back and gave the, you know, returned the sword back, back to the non-verse scholar, and then, you know, and then it was at that site that, you know, Uttantapuri, that he wrote down.
That he died, Uttantapuri monastery. He died according to what he saw at the Mount Meru and the Pahul. Making doing it. That was fact. They don't live Mount Meru.
Because you don't see it. Rumchi was saying that earlier, because you don't, you know, you don't see Mount Meru, then according to Western scientists, then it's like, you know, since you don't see, then you don't believe it. So then Rumchi told the story about how this happened.
Da bola, ne kenge shi wanto, na bumbi masamba wa, na chujia chuson bethi nje kenu chuson, ken, reda kenu chuson nzima.
And then in Tibet too, Shanta Rakshita, Pema Sambhava, and the Tibetan king Tsun Desen. You know, when they built the first monastery in Tibet, Samye, so you know they took as an example, they copied the monastery at Uttantapuri, which is designed in accordance with the Mount Meru, you know, four continents, eight subcontinents. So they, you know, they took that design to build Samye. Samye is built similar to that.
That they do on any teaser, our chimbo to the rope switch. And so Jela, Nanji, so Gomba, and then the Gomba, your name, and for the Tunjan Roy Gala, and Jamie, a jig at home chimbo to the other side of it, and Jenna can go for it. That young Yamzoj in the Kajikaji in the Yoro.
So, you know, the to symbolize Mount Meru, you have the main central temple or monastery in the center, and then other smaller monasteries or temples to represent the four main continents and the eight subcontinents. So, you know, the communist China destroyed most of it. What is left is only the central temple, which is symbolizing Mount Meru, and then few of the other surrounding temples are, you know, some of them are being rebuilt.
That's why we have to make sure that 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 we have to make sure.
So when we make mandala offerings and offer the Mount Meru and the four continents like this, you know, if our mind has doubt as to whether these things exist or not, that one is offering, then one need not doubt this at all. There are other beings, there are other holy beings who have seen this existence, Mount Meru and all, and so forth.
Chen de Kebe, Deba Namjit, and then also 논도지 차 처먹는 게 만들면 채노. 이 말이다. 근데, 소수 탑에 누이 찬에 제가 모아 놓으시, 제가 모아는 주는 용기가로 와. 근데 제가 모아 때라, 저기 대과 시, 제가 놓으시 주지에서 지인으로 와. 근데, 제 감각 좀 내는 게 공부 차도 요래돼, 도스 도스는 찬에 만나 왔던 데 용기가로 와.
So, in accordance with the Vinaya tradition in the Vaibhashika school, then there are four main Vinaya schools which further subdivides into 18 schools of 18 Vinaya schools. Although all of them, you know, bear the thought or the intent of the Buddha, but there are slight variations in the practice.
조지론이 자기 대바시에 놓은 게 파첸 대바. 자기 파첸 대비 노한테 뭐지 이렇게 되네 라쿄도 먹으러 파첸 대바래. 얘는요 자기 내 지기 경우나 신도 개발지 경우 경만인데 자기 내 지기는 단다 전해 견두게 그래서 손님이 제일 연두거나 제게 좀 풀고 그래 전해서 내 풀네 그런데 자기 좀 이해하지 맞아 대단히 대박이 너네 만나고 만나 또 쓰는 거 그래 다 대단 소가 전문 만나요 강가 조지 챙기 그래
so although you know Lama Atisha was ordained in the Mahasanghika tradition of the Vinaya school yet he was you know well you know very well learned well versed in all the four main you know main Vinaya schools you know like for example in the cases of you know offering alms and receiving alms all the four main schools of Vinaya has a slightly different presentation you know it like has a slightly different way of presenting that practice
remember that 보디 여기 누가대?
그러면 Lama Tisha. So like that, Lama Tisha knows all the like the you know is knows all the subtle points of the practice, knows all the you know is well versed in all the four main Vinaya schools.
아 동만이 전우 주성 맨 동네. 보다 근데 랍존사도 좀 너와 소위인 그 까불라 근데 저희 대바시에서 된대 요래 근데 대바시에 너서 말하고 된대 요래에서 캠보다 노고니가 쏜데 근데 주제하게 다 담제 요변마면 대바하게 라네한테 떠오세 담바 요래 담바 요한에서 보다 다 대야 놓으세 그게 나빠 담라 채야 요거나 야게 놓으세 근데 담제 요바마를 대바대 보다 손에 야본도 쓰네 담지 요바마를 대바 두고지
So when you know when Shanti Rakshita, Pema Sambhava and the then religious Kintus and Desen were there and when when they came to know that in when they started ordaining people at Samye then when they came to know that there were these four main schools of Vinaya they you know, they made the specific choice of choosing the tradition of the Tamche Yoga Mawa. Which one is that? You heard that? Yeah. Maha? Maha Sarvasti. Sarvasta what? Vadan. Anyway, the reason why they chose this particular school of Vinaya was it was the they found that this one was the most strict, and so they decided to choose that one of the four. The Vinaya school that that was that got established in China is also the same. 聚会里边见到有的。
嗯，他们就有办法来聚会的。
是
的。嗯。但是呢，你聚会就包了陪陪各位了，包给的话，这他们就有办法吃掉了。聚会容易，等等。还是什么？嗯，他们就有办法去，发现的吧？聚会发现的吧？现在那叫人要稍微得把些要热死，不过那得把些做呢，你那把钱得把做出热死，同步在那干那么热，即使他等到他们就有办法的，三年多是够多啊，要了，你另外现在他不过在台上也话说呢，那稍微得把些嘛做着。
So in India too, you know the Vinaya tradition of the four main schools were also.Was also practiced, and so when Lama Atisha came to Tibet, he said, "If you want to establish all of the four main Vinaya schools, you know, tradition, you know, Lama Atisha, since he belonged to the Mahasamgika school, he said, you know, he would establish that. But since the Mahasarvastivadin school that was already established in Tibet, since that was very strict and you know.They thought it was not necessary to introduce the other Vinaya schools. They found that was more better suited. Lama Atisha said that was more better suited for the Tibetans.
Tetana, Randa, Jinji, Devi, Chubin, Tajamzo, Tavu, Paradis, Hombe, Na.long term ne tam ji chin ma lo ba to su chu ba yin no da ra chin de ba song yin de sa be de ba je no ge de be san ne tam ji chin yo ji da ron de da yin de su ba yin ba da su ba do so ba so go wa yin de su bi yong na yong yong go ba de yin de ne ron chin de be chu da jam so da ja chin mo dan so bo
So, Lama Tisha in his time was not only well versed in the Buddhist tenets, but also very well versed in all of the, you know, the non-Buddhist tenets, and that was that was also a requirement.To have that kind of knowledge, because they often had debates with schools of thought other than Buddhists. So in this way, one could say Lama Tsongkhap, Lama Atisha, was completely enriched in all this, in all forms of scriptural understanding within the Buddhist philosophy itself. There's just oceans of a study of philosophy which in great that has much depth and extensiveness. So having well versed himself not only in that area but also in other non-Buddhist philosophy as well.
Mm. ने नोंगे यंदे नी बिसो दे छु ता जे ने तोगे यंदे नी बिसो ने जे जवे नोंगे ते मा ता जे दे नोर मु जे सम न दे तोगे ते मा वा लाबार मु जे सम न दे गु सो वास ने ता सुन जे मने ने सुन बे ने छु जे पो मु जे 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 दो से आ सुन बार वा ने ता ते जे तो दे यों दे ने दे नो सुन बे नो दे यों यो रे दे नो सो ने ता で、農村の先生ね、え、主人で老婆女子そうちび、どれでの。あ、店員で老婆女子そうちび、え、あ、どうは、どれでの。え、白で老婆そう、女子そうちびとんび、ごんびでの、で、農村。ね、あ、かたんじそうでな、で、農村の。で、農村で女子で、Lapa Sums, Lapa Chitamji, Lapa Tengenji, Lapa Shiri, Lapa, these are not doing it.
So all of the, the 84,000 teachings of the Buddha, is collected into these three vast collections, the Tripitaka's three vast collections of teachings. The first being the collection of the Vinaya teachings relating to ethics or moral discipline. Then you have the second collection, which is the collection of the Sutra teachings relating to concentration. And the third collection of teaching known as the Abhidhamma, which is to do with wisdom. So these three vast collections of the teachings, then the subject matter is completely to do with training in ethics, training in concentration, and higher training in wisdom. The three higher forms of training.
나바스 모테 도그이언데치 다 도그이언데 소드이나 라브슨 나바스 모테 노는 드이 아지 말 엔다 엔데 도그이언데 노덴 소시에 연도고나 라바스 모테 연데 노덴 소데 송
so the text the collection of these these are the three vast scriptural collections. And then what one can say is the experiential or the realized the realization or the experiential quality of these three vast collections of teachings is when it is when an individual trains as in the case of Lama Atisha, then in having trained oneself in these three higher forms of training, ethics, concentration, wisdom, then that becomes the qualities of one's experience, as opposed to having the qualities of in the previous case, this scriptural understanding. So of the three forms of higher training, then the first training in ethics is regarded as the foundation of all of one's positive qualities. So just like this ground or this this earth is like the foundation supporting all existence, sentient existence, animate, inanimate existence, how all forms of existence, animated, inanimate, depends on the on this ground, on this earth, on this foundation of this ground. In the same way, one's training in higher morality or higher ethics is the foundation for all of one's positive qualities. So, because morality, ethics, is the foundation of all of one's, qualities, so from the very beginning, to train in ethics, to train in morality, is important. When one trains in ethics, one can train in the ethics of pratimoksha vows, self-liberating vows, train in the ethics of the bodhisattva vows, and train in the ethics of the secret mantra vows, tantric vows that one receives upon taking initiations.
대라 손네 소소답이 논만 초도 냄비 손네 또바레 초네 닌데 티비 고르쇼네 님마다 나츠 제비 교회 또바 그다 대노나 초네 닌데 티비 고르쇼네 수점 향하신도 송제진 산초 빼던 냄비 개노초 내된 노반진나 산산도 그다 닌데 티비 고르쇼스야 닌데 티바나 쇼바스네요 다 닌데 티바 함 간다 제가 말해 아, 근데 이 아들,
translated Nakso Loso was 80 verses of praise. Then it says, praising the training in. Of training in high ethics in accordance with the vows of individual liberation. I bowed down to the elder upholder of the text on discipline, supreme of monks, possessing the glory of pure deeds. You, having entered the door of the Shravaka vehicle, guarded ethical discipline as a yak guards its tail. So here it does, having entered the door of the Shravaka vehicle doesn't mean, Lama Tisha was the practitioner of the Shravaka vehicle as such, but, practicing the Vaibhashika school's Vinaya, because of the training in the ethics following the Vinaya school in belonging to the Vaibhashika school. So it's like having entered the Shravaka vehicle and then, guarding ethical discipline as a yak guards tail. Here, the analogy that is used here, the yak, is not an ordinary kind of yak. It's a yak that lives in the mountains. And this particular yak guards every strand of its tail, every strand is more precious to the yak than even his life. So, even at the cost of his life, he will not let even a strand of his tail, yak's tail, he won't afford to lose that even at the cost of his life. He guards every strand of his tail's hair. He guards it even much more than his life. This kind of yak is a snow yak, a yak that lives in the snowy parts. In the same way, Lama Atisha too, when upholding the training in higher ethics or higher morality, then, would not incur even the slightest fraction of a transgression of ethics. Guarding even the slightest infraction of the ethics, guarding that even much more preciously than life, having much more regard for that you know, guarding that much more precious, they have much more regard for that than his own life. So, in the, you know, so to, you know, the analogy is for that. So for these reasons, then, you know, ethics, training in ethics is highly praised because it's the foundation for all of one's positive qualities. And just like how, you know, in the biography of the Buddha or in the biography of all the great and holy beings of the past, you know, in the same way, you know, the biography of the past holy beings are like models for the future sentient beings to follow in those footsteps. So, like here in the biography of Lama Atisha, you know, one of the first things that is highly praised, acclaimed, is Lama Atisha's way of training in higher ethics. So, if, you know, one should use that as an inspiration or as a model or basis, you know, that this is what one needs to train in first and foremost if one is to cultivate or develop any other higher qualities.
So why
these vows are important is because the root of the teachings. The root of the teachings is regarded as these vows of individual liberation. These pratimoksha vows, the existence of these pratimoksha vows, the vows of individual liberation are regarded as the root of the teachings. You know, whether these vows of individual liberation, you know, the taking of these vows, the giving of these vows, whether these exist or not, you know, is what establishes the roots of the teachings. And this type of vows doesn't only refer to only ordained people. It doesn't only cover that. It also covers the, you know, lay upasaka vows as well, the five lay precepts, the eight precepts. Those categories are also part of the, you know, the vows of individual liberation. The root of the teachings is defined by the existence of the vows of individual liberation. So this verse is praising, Lama Atisha's quality of having trained in the higher ethics in accordance with the vows of individual liberation. And the second verse praising Lama Atisha's qualities in training in the vows of the Bodhisattva vows. You have entered the door of the perfection vehicle, developed the pure wholehearted resolve, and due to your spirit of enlightenment, you would not desert living beings. I bow down to you, intelligent and compassionate one. So because of Lama Atisha embodying the practice of the Bodhisattva vows, then, having the infinite sense of loving kindness, compassion, extraordinary supreme thought of the Bodhicitta, and so forth.
이마다 도마네 도마네는 아주 특별고쇼 아니 아주 특별고쇼가는 도마 남정 전주에서 뭔들 로데요로 나 조제나 도마네 단다 전주에서입니다. 삼년지 사진지 종교였으면 요요하려고 옛날에요 딱 열두 손잡이 탑 간리치는 배나 야 요나 세 공부 제 연구거나 근데 종교였으면 사범을 봤어요. 대형 노제 대나 고바 편에 그 공부 된데 이제 고바 편인데 초등에 이게 들어가서 총화 된데 재화돼야 할 텐데 열두 손잡이 탑 가래 야외에서 종주지선 경호를 했습니다. 근데 바노나 제주도면 남주 범에 충화지게 렘바들 전에 여도 손잡이 탑 가래는 배고를 해서 종주지선 경호를 했어. 소인들은 종주지선 통이 네바체를 신발이 있어.
So So, when one looks at the biography of Lama Atisha from the very beginning began his studies in the path of the secret mantra, Vajrayana. So, of course, in order to practice the path of secret mantra, then one needs to have been well established in the common path of the Bodhicitta, loving kindness, compassion, and so forth. Yet, when Lama Atisha examined to see what is that one method that most quickly accomplishes one's enlightenment, then for that, then he found that there was nothing more extraordinary than the cultivating the mind of Bodhicitta as the most quickest means to attaining enlightenment. When Lama Atisha had that question one time, thinking, what is the method for the most quick way to attain enlightenment, then he was circumambulating the Bodh Gaya stupa at that time. Lama Atisha did have bodhicitta from before, because at the very beginning of his life, then his main study was training was in the path of secret mantra, which when you do that, then you must have already trained in the common path, which includes Bodhicitta as well. So around the Bodh Gaya stupa, when he was circumambulating the thought, with the thought, what is the most quickest way to attain enlightenment? Then, he saw two ladies, one older and one younger, both manifestations of Tara, and the younger one asked the question to the older one, saying, what is the method for the most quick way of attaining enlightenment? And the answer, Lama Atisha heard the answer, saying that the younger one asked the older one, and the answer was that, that it was Bodhicitta. So in the in the circumambulating area, you know, one younger lady asking an older lady, in both you know, manifestations of power, as well as many other Samis, devas around, you know, they were having these. As Lama Atisha was having that question in his mind, then he saw all these, like devas talking to the younger one, asking the older ones, and then the same answer, bodhicitta. So then he thought, you know, I wonder who bears these instructions, who's the holder of these instructions, whose instructions would be most effective to enhancing bodhicitta. So, who holds these instructions that would most enhance bodhicitta? So, like that, with that question, with that search, then he found, he came to Lama Selimpa, who was like the king of the place of Seling. So to go to this place of Selling to meet Lama Selimpa, then in those days the ships used to just depend on the wind, so it took like 13 months to arrive to that place. So many Mara forces, knowing the objective of that journey, seeing how much benefit would arise from that particular undertaking, then created many obstacles.
For that journey.
So sometimes there would be extremely strong winds almost capsizing the ship, and sometimes though it would be so still that the ship wouldn't even move like that, and then you had like many non-human creatures holding onto the ship like that. So, but in due to the power of the holy mind of our Lama Atisha, then was able to overcome all of these obstacles and succeed in the journey to the to Selling.
Selling